Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you live and on the air. Glad to be with you on our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Glad to be with you on our audio stream, which you can always find at kfhradio.com. You can always listen as well on the Odyssey app. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Paul Savage. It is a Paul Savage Wednesday here on the program, and we are excited to have Paul in for a busy day. We got the draft starting tomorrow. Lots of interesting news items coming out over the last 24 hours or so that we'll get into. Jad Chambers is producing for us today. Jad Chambers is manning that IHOP hotline at 869-1240. So we will take your calls there. You can leave your comments on our video streams. You can reach out to us on social media. Among the things to get to today as we look ahead again to the NFL draft, and I think the most interesting thing coming out in the last, again, probably 24 hours, is these rumors with the Chargers and Justin Herbert, and the odds of the Chargers taking a quarterback with that fifth pick have dropped from 100-1 down to 6-1 on ESPN bet. So we'll get into that. I don't know what's going on there, but it's worth exploring just a little bit. We will get into Caitlin Clark has her deal with Nike. We get the details on that. It's a little lower, honestly, than I thought it would be.
What?
Still impressive.
What?
But it's lower. Oh, I'll explain.
Okay.
I'll explain as we make our way through.
All right.
So we have that we can talk about. Reggie Bush is getting a Heisman back. I know Paul will have a lot of thoughts on that as well. Dylan Edwards is in the transfer portal. The former Derby star. He's got his buddy, childhood friend Avery Johnson there publicly and very loudly campaigning for him to return to K-State. Remember, Edwards originally committed to K-State, then flipped to Notre Dame, then flipped to Colorado and Deion Sanders. Now he's back in the portal like a lot of Colorado players have been. So we'll get into that as well on the show today. We've got the Royals with a comeback win last night as well. There's a whole lot to get to today, Paul. Oh, and by the way, we expect Kevin Saul to stop by, and there's a chance. Oh. I think he's going to bring Terry Nooner with him.
Well, that's good
for this visit,
yeah,
which
sure
will be interesting.
Why
as
not?
We've had this explosion in women's basketball, and
right,
Terry
why
Nooner
not?
Has been busy bringing back some former local talent. So a lot to get to today. Again, your calls available for all of it at 869-1240. Let's start, Paul, with the NFL draft tomorrow, and we've talked for a long time about the Chiefs. One of the big Chiefs rivals is in the news here the last 24 hours or so. Justin Herbert, I'm a big fan. I think he's a star. Signed a huge deal. And now all of a sudden, there's a lot of, you know, rumblings, and it started sort of with like Antonio Brown talking about this, that, you know, the Vikings are looking to trade for Justin Herbert and the Chargers may be interested. Now, that sounds crazy because it is crazy, Paul. One, they would eat an historic amount of money, the Chargers would. They just signed him to that long extension if they were to do this. Two, he is fantastic and has had, you know, questionable coaching at best so far and has still been fantastic. On the flip side of it, the Chargers roster is getting picked apart pretty handily. And obviously Jim Harbaugh and J.J. McCarthy have a relationship, a very solid relationship. They love each other. It is a big deal. And I'll tell you this, there are people, a lot of people, that think J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in this class, including over Caleb Williams. So I guess I understand the smoke on this, the obvious connection between McCarthy and Harbaugh, but I just can't imagine there will be fire because it seems like such an impossible trade. It seems impossible to imagine trading a young quarterback like that. It seems impossible to imagine eating that much money that they would have to eat on that contract they just signed him to, Paul. But all of that was done before Jim Harbaugh gets here. This is really interesting all of the sudden with this, you know, rumor and odds drop and everything else that this would even be. I mean, we haven't even had this anywhere within the realm of possibility until the last 24, 48 hours.
Is this young man a top 10 quarterback? Let me ask you that.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
I think he is for sure.
Good. I knew you would say that. Is he a top?
I think he's a top five.
I was going to say top seven, but let's just cut to the chase, the top five quarterback. And I think I would agree with you. I think obviously there's about three or four I could take, you know, ahead of him. But is he a top five? I'll tell you what, he would be in that area. Be in, you know, five, six,
for,
seven.
For me,
sure.
Paul, the only obvious guys I would take ahead of him right now. And we're talking like upside, future, age, all of it considered, right? Everything has to be considered here. Off the top of my head, without looking at a list, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody, and you can remind me if I am, it would be Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, and then Justin Herbert for me.
I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. So with that being said, sometimes these kind of things just kind of shake out of the tree. They come from somewhere, maybe an undisclosed
from
source.
Antonio Brown, right? Like, a guy.
I'm saying, where did he get it from, though? I know.
I'm saying, you know, there's that, probably because there are connected people within the, you know, fraternity that have been rumbling about this a little bit.
Well,
I get it, but I get the connections and why people would think it. Harbaugh's obvious connections to J.J. McCarthy. I understand.
Right,
that.
Right. I'm talking about, you know, somewhere it's going to somebody who has a connection. But somebody's hearing this for some, because nobody from the organization, at least that I've seen so far, and it may happen, I don't know, but nobody is making any comment about this. We don't know if this is true. I guess you could always have rumblings. I mean, you could make the comment, you know, the Chiefs might look to see what they could get for Mahomes. I mean, somebody could say that, and then somebody runs with it. I look at Hebert, and I just think to myself, you know, you're lucky to have a quarterback of this quality. I mean, we're talking about, you just said it in your own mind, this is a top five quarterback.
And I think he is, yeah.
And I agree with you. I think he is, too. I think he would be right there. He'd be one of those guys that I wouldn't mind having being the quarterback of my franchise. So with that being said, I just don't know how much stock. Sometimes, you know, you get to the point where you just go, golly, I just can't believe everything I hear. And even though it's coming from this source or that source or a source tells another source, you know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, who's the source? What's going on? And what's the agenda? Because obviously there's an agenda. And many times throughout the course of draft history, you know this, there's all kinds of things that are started up to increase the value of certain players. And I don't know what the connection is, but wouldn't be surprised. I mean, all this is popping up with the fact that we got a draft that has what? 6, 7, 8, according to some people, as many 8 or 9 really good quarterbacks that might have an effect on the NFL over the future. I mean, this is a really
quarterback heavy, at least it appears to me, and time will tell, by the way. There might not be a one of them that amount to a hoot. I don't think that'll be the case, but we don't know. Yeah, but time always tells on the quarterbacks, don't they? But it's not tomorrow. We won't know tomorrow. It'll be a while.
But, you know, with that being said, how do we know that whatever is being reported isn't to increase the value of somebody that we're not aware of? I don't know. I don't know that I'm putting a lot of stock into Jacob. No offense to the story. I know you find this story fascinating.
Well,
but
I think when Vegas talks, we sort of have to listen.
But they,
right? And it could just be Vegas covering its butt here
They're
when it
human.
Has something like that at 100-1 and it's like, well, we can't take that kind of risk. Could be that.
Uh-huh.
The financials of it don't make sense because they would have to eat so much money. But everything else you could – like if that wasn't a factor here, I could see it. I could because Harbaugh's going to have a lot of control there, and he loves J.J. McCarthy and thinks a lot of him, clearly. There are a lot of people, by the way, that think a lot of J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be pretty good, right? I think there's a good chance – I think there's a – I'll call it a decent chance – that all four of these guys end up as productive NFL players, if not five. I think Penix is good, too. I think we got a chance that you've got five starting quarterbacks that have staying power in the league in this draft. That doesn't always happen. But Justin Herbert's a proven commodity who has done things rookies have not done in a situation, whether it be injuries to his, you know, to his playmakers, injuries to himself, injuries to his offensive line, or some of what I think is the worst coaching we've seen in the NFL in his time with the Chargers. All that against him, and he's still done things at a clip we haven't seen very many guys do. I think you'd be crazy to trade Justin Herbert. That being said, if you're the Vikings, Paul, and let's say the Chargers just answer the phone, I mean, there's pretty much nothing I wouldn't think that the Vikings would be willing to trade to make this happen. Would you give up your next three first-round picks for Justin Herbert? I would, absolutely. With Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson there, they've added to the offensive and defensive lines. Kevin McConnell, I mean, the difference between what Justin Herbert's had in coaching and going to Kevin O'Connell? There's not too much I would give up if I were the Vikings. So maybe it's just that the Vikings are willing to blow him away, and because of the connection between Harbaugh and McCarthy, maybe the Chargers are willing to listen. I don't know. The financials of it, again, make it even harder to imagine, but we just don't see this. You don't see young quarterbacks. It's the most valuable commodity in sports, Paul, and they got one of the good ones. That's the part of it that you just can't shake. Like, I don't care how much Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy. Harbaugh, who's had success in the NFL, wasn't he the one that was in love with Colin Kaepernick? And, you know, that was, off to a great start early and then faded pretty fast. I don't know, man. I think you'd be crazy to trade Justin Herbert.
You want a bird in the hand or two in the bush. What do you want? Because that's basically what this case is. And Harbaugh's smart enough to know that you never know. I mean, we have seen guys that are projected that they can't miss, they won't miss. They're going to be the next Johnny Unitas, for goodness sakes. And we've seen those guys when we've seen them. We have seen them talked about, and we see them go on the field for the first year. Well, it's rookies. They're learning the game in the NFL. It's totally different than from where they came. And we get that. We get that. And then later on, it's still, you know, now they're cut or they're traded or whatever the case might be. We also see guys that are picked way down the road. Tom Brady comes to mind. Brock Purdy is another that comes to mind. Brock Purdy, there's still a lot to be written with him. But I kind of like where the story's going, if you get my drift. I think he's an excellent talent and is picking up the NFL game very, very quickly. So with that being said, you just can't tell. And that's why I don't hold a lot to this story, Jacob, is because we all know that nobody is going to put their future in the basket with a quarterback who's just coming out of college. That's nuts. Not when you have Justin Herbert in your back pocket on your roster. You've got this guy. You and I have both agreed that minimum he's in the top five, at least in the NFL today. This makes no sense to me, Jacob. It just makes no sense.
It makes sense. I don't want to say it doesn't make sense, because it makes sense. I get it. It makes sense because you've got the obvious things about it. The most obvious being Harbaugh and McCarthy's connection.
Oh, gosh.
It
well,
makes it.
I got
you. Know, that, I'm not saying I agree with it.
All right.
I don't agree. But I'm saying it,
I know what you
it
mean.
Makes sense because of that connection. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes sense because the Chargers are going to have to rebuild to some degree when they've lost as much as they've lost. But, boy, they are going to be in a position potentially, Paul, to take the best non-quarterback in this draft at 5 if they don't want to trade down. They have so many great options in the draft. It's such a, you know, it's just hard to wrap our heads around because we haven't thought about it. The reality is this. If Harbaugh is right and J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in this class and is, you know, the best quarterback in Michigan history and is the best pro day quarterback he's ever seen and all of these things, and he's right about McCarthy, he'd be right about this trade. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if, you know, if Harbaugh really believes that and he's right about it, we would never doubt that, you know, as we look back in history, even if Justin Herbert continues to be awesome, which we both think he would be, if Harbaugh's right about McCarthy and what kind of player he could be, and they got all this capital to go with McCarthy, you'd never say it was a mistake, mm-hmm. even though they had to eat the money mm-hmm. for a short time.
Right.
Or I don't know how long they'd have to eat the money. So,
okay.
So it does make sense that there is this rumbling out there, but I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
Right? I think you'd be crazy to trade Justin Herbert.
Well,
just kind of period.
I think let me kind of now jump on your bandwagon just a little bit, because I can certainly see where you're coming from on this, and I really don't know, it's easy for me to flip-flop from one position to the other. But let me take your side for just a second, and that is that unless you're a Jim Harbaugh and you're in love with anybody in particular in this draft, no matter what position it is, unless you're so in love you can't make a trade, you know, you think about, well, there's a lot of quarterbacks that we're talking about in this draft that are going to be pretty good. And right now it looks like the Chargers, if they make this trade, they're going to get a number 11, a number 3, and around a number and a 108, plus another pick in the third round in 2025. Beautiful. That's not bad. Now, let's think about this analytically. Let's say you want another quarterback who's not from Michigan. Let's put it that way. You got a number 11 pick. You know, from what we get, there will probably be one of those pretty good quarterbacks still left around the 11 spot, don't you think?
I think they got to trade up. If they want one of the top 4, you're talking about the Vikings?
Well, I'm talking
they got it, the
right.
The Vikings, if they want one of the top 4, which are, you know, May, Daniels, Williams, McCarthy, they're going to have to move up.
All right, well, maybe they will.
I think but to get it, cuz I don't
but there's still
there
some,
are too many no. there are too many other teams that want a quarterback that could also trade up ahead of them, right? The
right.
Giants, I think, would be hard-pressed if one of those guys fell into their lap at 6 not to take one of them. That's just who's sitting there, right? And then you have both Arizona and the Chargers seemingly would be very willing to trade down. They'd be crazy, I think, not to at least listen. Mm-hmm. So there's too many teams that
right.
can get ahead of them.
Yeah, yeah.
If the Vikings want one of those 4, they're going to have to move up, I think.
Well, let me ask you a question.
To make sure they get them.
And may I ask you a question? There's no right or wrong answer to the question I'd like to ask. But of the 4 quarterbacks you just mentioned, which one of those would you want? If you had
Caleb Williams.
Gosh, I'm not so sure. I mean, I like May kind of. I kind of like May. I think he's a prototype. I know the least
about May.
Oh, okay.
Because he's played in the fewest amount of interesting games to me.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched him a lot.
Right.
So in fairness, I just don't know.
Right.
I watched plenty of Daniels. Obviously, he's a Heisman winner. Caleb Williams, I've watched them. Well, J.J. McCarthy, I've watched plenty of too. J.J. McCarthy, to me, I like J.J. McCarthy. I think, you know, I always pay attention, Paul, to guys who win at that clip. Like, it is hard to do. It's hard to win at that clip. And he has done nothing but win over his entire career. That's the only thing that holds me back from Caleb Williams. Now, I don't think Caleb Williams ever played on teams as good as Michigan, to be fair.
Right.
I think Caleb Williams, to me, is a little more obvious in the translation of his game. It looks more like what you would need to be able to do in the NFL. But I think there's absolutely a world where J.J. McCarthy ends up as the best quarterback out of this class.
Right.
I think he's the least risky.
Right.
I don't know enough about Drake May. And Jaden Daniels, I love, and I think he's going to have success while he's on the field. But he is a thin-framed quarterback that runs, and I worry about injury risk guys.
And by the way,
I do think while he's out there, though, he's going to be good.
And I can't blame you for Caleb Williams when you say he's been on some. I mean, he doesn't play defense. And let's face it, this last year, and we had talked about it while the season was going on. I know I mentioned it probably a half a dozen times how much the USC defense stunk. I'm using the word stunk, and I don't use it on this show very often. But let's face it, USC's defense was not very good, and Caleb Williams had to overcome. That's why they weren't as successful as you would think they would with a Caleb Williams at quarterback. So we've got to understand that. So with that being said, I certainly understand where you're coming from. I can't. It's hard for me to pick a quarterback because even at Christmas they're all good.
I like Michael Penix a lot too, Paul.
He's going to go pretty. He's going to go a lot later than the guys we've been talking about.
We think. You don't know. It depends on what teams like.
No, you're right.
If a team likes him, they'll go get him. The one guy that I am not sold on is Bo Nix. Of the six that everyone talks about, I've got Bo Nix at six for sure. Mm. Right? He doesn't intrigue me that much. Michael Penix does, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. That one I think I'm in agreement with you on, although neither one of us know, do we? That's the fun part
passer,
of this whole thing.
A passer like Penix who can just kind of shred you up like that from the pocket, I'm always going to have interest in that.
Yeah,
NFL.
You like that.
But Justin Herbert, I'm telling you, Paul, this draft is going to be wild. I cannot wait for it tomorrow.
There you go.
Let's talk about Caitlin Clark's new deal.
Okay.
With Nike. It's a shoe deal and just a deal in general. We'll get into that as we make our way through Sports Daily. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily on a Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you. Thanks for listening in here on KFH. Mornings on KFH, by the way. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire.
Yes, sir.
Coffee.
Can I hold
Always
mine up?
Appreciate
there it
that.
Is. Can yeah. you see it right there,
Paul's
Jacob?
Paul's got it right there.
Right
we
there,
We got
baby.
like a vat of it in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Back up. I'm going to take a big sip. Hold on just a second.
In the break room there. So we appreciate Prairie Fire.
How was that?
Slurping. Good. Coming up a little later in the show, we're going to have Kevin Saul in, and we think maybe Terry Pinner. We'll get clarification on that as we come through, which is good timing.
Why not?
I would like to get his thoughts on the explosion of women's basketball.
We're about to
talk about Caitlin Clark. We're going to give away some HTO in the second hour. We're going to talk Royals in the second hour. We have a lot to get to today. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. It's a fun show, so stick with us. Paul, let's get into the Caitlin Clark story.
Let's do it.
So Caitlin Clark is reportedly doing a Nike deal, and the valuation here is $28 million over 8 years, which, you know, rough math shows that at $3.5 million a year. Pretty similar probably to what her NIL valuation was. If I remember correctly, I think she was at about $3.5 million in college endorsements. $3 million. So according to some reports, it was $3 million in NIL money at Iowa, which is where she started the bidding with these apparel companies. I'm going to tell you though, Paul, I thought this was going to be way higher. Now, let me just give you a couple of comparables.
All right, please.
In this.
All right.
So if we're talking about like the largest, just sort of. Sponsorships, all-encompassing sponsorships. Of course, Michael Jordan with Nike is at the top. He just
Obviously.
Has so much skin in the game. It's worth like $1.3 billion according to Pitch, which is a publication. Cristiano Ronaldo, $1 billion with Nike. Makes sense, right? LeBron and Nike, $1 billion. Makes sense. Messi and Adidas, $1 billion. Makes sense. Federer and whatever Uniqlo is, $300 million. Rory McIlroy and Nike, $250 million. 250 million. Steph Curry and Under Armour, 215 million. Derrick Rose and his old Adidas deal was at 185 million. David Beckham has one. Tiger Woods has one that's over 100 million. Mm. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's not going to, before she plays right. any professional
yeah.
ball, getting in that stratosphere. Here are the shoe deals, though, Paul, according to Sporting News. Jordan's shoe portion of his, 150 million a year. LeBron, 32 million a year. Durant, 28 million a year. Steph, 20 million a year. James Harden's at 14 million a year. Zion Williamson is at 12 million a year. Dwayne Wade's at 12 million a year. Giannis is at 12 million a year. Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving are both at 11 million a year. Now, I would ask you this, Paul, and this is where I thought Caitlin Clark's was going to be higher. Would you rather, if you were the decision maker, have Zion Williamson at 12 million or Caitlin Clark at 3.5 million?
Oh,
Zion, and I bring him up specifically because Zion Williamson has not attained the level of success as a professional. So you got to think of him as coming in, and he was right. the guy, like he was the hyped up, you know, of all the recent draft picks, like as far as like branding and star power, he was that guy. 12 million a year, Caitlin Clark's 3.5 million a year. I'd way rather, if I'm just making a business decision, Paul, I'd way rather have Caitlin Clark because I think Caitlin Clark has the ability in an untapped market to sell, like sell shoes like Jordan sold shoes, right? In the
right,
beginning.
Right, right. Well,
that's why I thought her deal was going to be much larger because she, like, you've got all these young people, all these young girls playing basketball. Mm-hmm. They're all going to want the Caitlin mm-hmm. Clark shoes.
Right.
All of them. There's no, right. there's nobody to share that with right.
right
now.
Right. Two things. First of all, with Zion Williams, it's not a shoe deal. It's an ankle boot deal. That's what that's for. His name, you know, he's going to have his name on an ankle boot, you know, that you use for rehab. That's what the, no, of course I'm not kidding. But, and then with.
Because he hasn't played yet.
Because he hasn't played. I mean, he's always hurt. In fact, in the playoffs, as we speak, I don't think he played last night. Was it the night before? Last night. I don't think he played. I think he was on the bench. I'm so disappointed in Zion and I regret making the joke that he's, you know, sponsoring ankle, you know, an ankle boot. But I mean, you get my drift that he's hurt so much of the time. That I don't even know. Nobody's getting their money's worth on any of the endorsements that he is being purported with. Now, with Caitlin Clark, what's going to happen when she goes to the WNBA? She's going to lose some of her luster. She's going to lose some of her audience because she will not be as visible unless she drags the WNBA right along with her. Now, I'm not saying that she doesn't have potential. But with regards to being able to promote, you know, this or that or the multitude of things she's been promoting as a Iowa Hawkeye, and I get that. But a lot of that was regional, too, by the way. A lot of that was regional, which makes sense. You know, if you play for Iowa or a Big Ten team, you're going to have a lot of regional sponsors. The question is for Caitlin Clark, how does her game translate to the professional side of things? And there's going to be, as we say with men,
but that doesn't matter for a shoe deal, Paul. I mean, it does.
No, it will
down the road.
It will.
Right, but
yes.
not for an initial 8-year deal, right?
I got you.
Because it doesn't. She's going to sell shoes. She's going to sell shoes.
Sell shoes to
based
six,
on
sixth
what
graders.
She's already done.
Right, sixth
right?
graders like, are going to want her shoe.
Those sales will come now. And then, obviously, if she becomes a great professional player and she continues to draw the interest to, you know, the sport or to her or whatever at the WNBA level that she did in college, and I think time will tell. I think that's going to be the greatest challenge off the court that she's faced so far.
I agree.
Then her next shoe deal will be massive, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be massive. I thought there would be a more massive deal initially because she'll sell so many shoes based on what she's already done mm-hmm. and based on the impacts
right.
we've already seen.
Right.
And, you know, if you are wondering if she's going to draw, you know, again, and I only say I love, and I it, this is this way, you know, on the men's side too now in my life, but I like college basketball now. I consume it far more. in the women's game, that's always been the case for me. And so I think that's the case for a lot of people,
oh,
but
no
we've
question.
Never seen anything
right.
like we've never seen anything no. like Caitlin
no,
Clark.
No, no.
So we don't know if it might translate. If the WNBA draft is any indicator, it will translate.
Right.
And that's what when I saw the WNBA draft numbers, that's when I started saying to people, like, watch how big this shoe deal is going to be.
Right.
Because that tells you right there people are interested because they watched it go through.
Right.
But it wasn't as big as I thought it was. Great deal. I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Don't misunderstand. I just tried to think of it as if I were the apparel company. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I would do everything to get her on board. Because just like bottom line, not even like the brand, like in simple bottom line shoe sales, she is good. Watch what happens, Paul. And I could be wrong about this because I was wrong about the size of this deal she was going to get. But watch what happens when they put this shoe out, and you'll start to see all the stories.
Right.
Most popular, most sold shoe of any kind right now for setting records for shoe sales out of the gate. Just watch. It'll happen.
All right. Question for you again. Again, this is there's no right or wrong answer. I seem to be full of questions for you today because it's fun. One thing I like about you is that there's things that you and I have different takes on. I like that. I like that when you and I don't see the same item in the same way. And this is one of those because you say you were surprised it wasn't wasn't higher, Caitlin Clark's deal with Nike. I'm a little stunned that it was that high. So, I mean, here you and I were both a little bit different. But here's my question to you. No right or wrong answer, obviously. Do you believe that, say, 2 to 3 years from now, you will be consuming WNBA as a fun thing, as a thing you're not doing for the radio show, but as a basketball fan, will you be consuming WNBA on games that do not include Caitlin Clark? Will you be watching?
Paul, I won't be watching games that do include Caitlin Clark, and it's only because it's not. I have such limited time in what I consume. I'm not consuming the NBA right now because I watch too much college basketball.
I'm too
much of an NFL draft junkie because I love Major League Baseball. The answer to that is no.
That's interesting.
I'm not watching the NBA anymore. I had to cut the NBA out to make room for all the college basketball that I watch now. So for me, no, but I'm not the person that matters, Paul.
Right.
I'm not.
Well,
the question is, do all of the women who didn't watch any of it before Caitlin Clark translate to the WNBA? It's not like, I think this is unfair to everybody, by the way. I think this weird, like, guilt and pressure of being told, well, now you need to watch women's basketball. Well, maybe I don't have time to watch anything other than what I already watch, right? I already watch women's college basketball. I don't have time to add the WNBA to my plate. Okay, so that's unfair to the viewers. What you've got to think of it as is just attention in general. Caitlin Clark has been wildly successful in arena, in eyeballs, because she's tapping this untapped resource of the sports audience. Caitlin Clark is pulling people in that didn't watch any sports before, right? So now you look at it, and does she capture and keep the audience that didn't exist before and translate it?
Yes.
I think the chances of that are pretty high.
That's right. And partly because of the team that she's going to play for, which is going to be Indiana, which is still, well, that's Big Ten territory, right next door to the state of Iowa, if I have my geography correct. And so, yes, there's going to be a huge hangover with regards to those eyeballs on Caitlin Clark from that area. A lot. Listen, you're a sixth grade girl. You're going to want her shoes as a pro, because your eyes are still going to be on Caitlin Clark, particularly in, let's say, Big Ten territory. You're still going to want to be a part of what she is promoting. And listen, I think she sells as many shoes as Curry, as Durant, who else did you mention?
I think initially I agree.
I think she sells a ton of shoes. And I think that And that might be, now that I think about it, that might exactly be.
That's why I thought this deal would be bigger.
That's why I'm starting to think, you know something, you're right. My initial reaction may have been wrong.
I just think she's going to.
No, you might be right.
I think she's going to tell a son of shoes. I think she's going to sell a ton of shoes.
A ton. And it's
Rodney chimes in.
Go.
Rodney chimes in, says, what are your thoughts about the idea that she would have been better off staying in college for another year financially, visibility? I think her visibility would have been higher.
Did she have another year? Now, that's news to me.
She could have.
I didn't know
that. But it would have been the extra weird year and everything. Visibility, I will guess that it would have been higher in college. We'll see. I mean, this is the next trail she's set to blaze to see if she can grow a sport on its own. Financially, I mean, probably not, because now she has an 8-year deal set just slightly above what she was making in college. So financially, dollars and cents, she made the right decision, right? She's now, instead of making $3.5 million, she'll make 30, basically, you know, over 8 years. So I think financially, it was clearly the correct decision. Visibility wise, the WNBA's got a long road to become more popular than women's college basketball, because women's college basketball is exploding in popularity. We'll see if Caitlin Clark can do it. And know this, too. It got amplified by Caitlin Clark, but women's college basketball was growing before the phenomenon of Caitlin Clark. It's been growing for a while. It's always been really popular. She has taken it to all new levels. Don't for sure ask anybody involved in the sport. Coming up, we should have Kevin Saul, and we may have Terry Nooner. We'll get his thoughts on this as Wichita State women's basketball continues to try and get back to prominence. We'll have that. We'll have a giveaway as well for some HTO. We appreciate everybody listening in and tuning in on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. We'll come back, more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Pool's opening soon, Memorial Day. There'll be a big Memorial Day bash at the pool. You can get, there's a bar out at the Crestview pool. It's got the huge high dive, serves food out there. Really looking forward to pool season out at Crestview. The family and I use that feature at Crestview more than any other feature by far. We are at that pool all summer long. So that opens up soon. Just one of the benefits at Crestview. Give them a call today and ask about any of their memberships and tell them we sent you over here from Sports Daily and KFH. Paul, we make our way into the end of this first hour, and we have the NFL draft coming. We've got all kinds of stuff coming. The Royals last night, we'll spend just a minute here on the Royals. We'll save Reggie Bush for the next hour. But the Royals, look, you take it how you can get it. The Blue Jays make a mistake last night. Bobby Witt Jr. takes advantage of that mistake, and they get a win. They had better starting pitching, which was good to see, and the bullpen was really good, which was great to see. We've been wondering here, Paul, or at least I have, probably more so me, definitely more so me than Tommy, that the Royals are interesting. We're all excited about this start, but the vast majority of their wins have come against bad teams. And they are losing series to good teams, and they are beginning this stretch now for the next couple of weeks where they're going to play nothing but good teams, and I'm a little concerned about that, but we'll see.
Well, we will see, but, I mean, you're seeing some things from players. You're starting to see some things from players that you haven't seen in the past. I mean, sure, you got Witt. Sure, you got Perez. I mean, you know, we know what you're going to get from them, but you're starting to see some things with the Royals. And listen, who wouldn't – I mean, just exactly who are you if you're not understanding where the Royals are? 14-10. At this point right now, if I'd have said, Jacob, we're pushing towards the end of April, would you take 14-10 with the Royals? What would you have said?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? You would have said, are you kidding me? I take it. I like your word, absolutely, because there's not a lot of things in life that are absolute. That is. So with that being said, I mean, the Royals are fun, and I confess, I mean, I'm watching more Royals baseball live that I've had that fun. I have in a while because you
they're a fun team.
They are. They're a fun team that's fun to watch, and it's good. And by the way, the pitch clock doesn't hurt. I mean, that helps. It helps a lot, in my opinion. I know a lot of people don't like it, you know, the purists. But I think, you know, if people like it and it speeds the game up, and if you haven't watched the Royals for a while, give them a try. You'll enjoy the pitch clock, but you'll also enjoy the Royals and what they're doing. Pitching is better. Hitting is better. More timely. Leadership seems to be better. I like Bobby Witt. I like Perez, as we've talked about on past shows with regards to leadership. So, you know, I like the Royals, and they're fun to watch. And
it's all there for you.
I can't say that I could say that over the course of very many times since their last World Series. I'll put it that way.
Let's get to the phone lines here before we end hour number one and get to Kevin Saul in the next hour. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Hey, Anthony, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I can't believe I'm still up, but it was out of necessity. But I'm getting ready to head toward the home front so I could be on my way down. But you said something about the Royals. He said they're winning against bad teams and losing against good teams. But there was also a time where they used to lose against bad teams. So that part, they got figured out. The other thing is, the game that they won, you said they took advantage of a mistake. How many times have mistakes been presented to teams in the past and they didn't take advantage of that? So you have to take these little small things, these little small steps, and hopefully if they play against one of these good teams and one of these good teams make a mistake that allows them to win, you take that and you learn from that, and you just continue to build and build and build. Eventually they'll break through against one of these good teams. So that's how you have to look at it. So instead of looking at it as the glass half empty, maybe it's time to look at it as the glass half full. And try to enjoy this ride. And on that note, I'm going to get out here so you guys can finish up this first hour, and I'll be looking forward to listening to Kevin Saul. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony, always. And I'm glad you brought that up, because if you haven't listened to what I've been saying all week, that is easy. I'm not disappointed that they're beating bad teams or taking advantage of situations they should be. That's all the appropriate progress being made, and I'm thrilled for it, in fact. I'm just saying, we're trying to get a grasp of what the expectation for this specific team is this year and their chances to make that run. I do think that if we're doing that, we got to kind of pay attention to who they're beating and who they're playing. I want them to be amazing, and I want them to continue to beat these good teams. And I think they will at a decent clip, certainly better than they have been. But if they're going to ultimately get into the mix where they're going to be a playoff contender or a contender in the division in this year's American League, they're not going to be able to. They changed the scheduling. You can't just pile up wins against bad teams. You have to beat the good teams too. And that's what we'll have to see. They have not won a series yet this year against a team that's above 500. They're going to have to do that at a higher clip if they want to make the playoffs. Now, if we're talking about being excited about the progress being made for the organization, I'm in, man. All in. I love the progress being made regardless of all of that other stuff. Just trying to figure out what we should expect out of this team. And it's April. That's hard for any team. We'll come back on Sports Daily. We got Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director, coming up here in the next hour. We're going to get into this Reggie Bush story. I know Paul will have a lot of thoughts on that. He's going to get his Heisman back finally, it sounds like. So we'll get into all of that. Your calls on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. We'll have a giveaway of some HTO in the next hour as well. Stick around. Plenty more Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage, coming right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily. We are joined now by Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul and special guest Terry Nooner Wichita State women's basketball coach. Perfect timing as they've made a couple additions to the roster as women's basketball has been very much in the headlines lately. And gentlemen, we appreciate you stopping by. Welcome to Sports Daily.
Good morning, Jacob. How are you?
We're good. It's Albrockton Savage today on this Wednesday. Let's get right into women's basketball since we've got Terry here. And okay. Kevin, I'll ask you this. You guys have a ton of initiatives and things happening right now with the NIL. A lot of that, you know, we think a lot of men's basketball because it's always been the banner carrier for Wichita State. But that effort is wide-ranging, right, among all sports. And how is that going for you guys here in this sort of off-season to basketball?
Yeah, no, it's been good. We've talked about on the show previously, and I appreciate you asking, the Seed Sowers campaign of 5,000 individuals given $500 a year, $42 a month. I think we're the website says 441 Seed Sowers so far, and I think we're just north of 500, actually. We've got some significant gifts that will be announced here in the next 7 to 10 days that will certainly vault that forward. But the goal in 5,000 at 500 a year is obviously 2.5 million, and women's basketball is a critical part of that at about $350,000, $400,000 per year in NIL. So critically important in the recruiting process. I think it's very difficult to separate the desire for championships and needing to have a very vibrant and active NIL program, particularly in today's landscape. I know that's not appealing or attractive to some folks, and we've had a lot of conversations, and folks are starting to understand that the connection to winning championships, that road runs through NIL. And so we're making some headway, and we'll continue to work at it really hard.
It does. And Terry, I would follow that with this for you. We have seen an absolute explosion of interest in the women's game. And a lot of that has to do with Caitlin Clark, but it was happening before she got there too. I've always thought of Wichita State as a place where you could put a lot of butts in that in those seats, and the build to get there is the job you've inherited now. How's that going? And what, you know, as you coach young women and see this explosion, how proud are you just in general of the industry and how much it's grown over the last handful of years?
I mean, I'm so proud because, you know, as me, a person, I started coaching youth basketball, and I remember having a lot of friends when I first started, a group of sixth grade girls, and a bunch of my buddies were asking me why would I even waste my time in women's basketball? But for me, it was the power of giving back and helping, you know, student athletes and young ladies kind of pay it forward by all the great coaches that I had in my life. So to see the sport grow from how much it's grown since I first started in the business, you know, you love to see it. You love to be able to, you know, I'm talking to NBA friends and coaches, and they're watching women's basketball games now, and they're at AAU tournaments, and they have teams. And so just to see the great amount of support in our sport has been awesome. And I think Wichita is a big-time basketball town in general. We have a great group of a base of fans who love to watch us. They support us, win or lose. They stay to the end of games. They don't leave early. So, you know, I know if we can put a great product on the floor, then our attendances go skyrocket.
You know, Coach, one of the interesting things about where you're at right now with regards to NIL is that it's going to be out there. It's going to get better for women, partly because of Caitlin Clark. But I know this. I know this for a fact because I, you know, coaching football at East, I see, you know, and I know about some of the things that are being done for the kids that are being recruited from Wichita East for football. So I have a feel for that. At this point, what's it going to take for Wichita State to be able to compete for the best talent in the country with regards to NIL? How far do you have to go on that? What needs to be done, and how do you go about securing what you need to be competitive? And when I'm talking about competitive, Coach, there's no reason why we can't talk about, you know, best in the nation competing for places in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, is no bigger testament is that when Kim Mulkey first got to LSU, they weren't even an NCAA tournament team, and within 2 years they won a championship.
There you go, good.
So the power of NIL now is strong. I think it's even the playing field a lot, and I think, you know, As Kevin stated before, a number between 300,000 or 400,000, I think, will be a great number for us to try to attract the best student athletes. We do a great job. I have a great staff of people who do a great job of attracting big-time players who are very interested in us, who love us, who are high-caliber players and high-caliber kids. So if you can have those kind of NIL dollars to match, you know, our connections throughout the country and with AAU programs and high school coaches, if you can have that backing with you just to show the kids, because all they're looking at it is as NIL is just that they're saying you're making a commitment to them to take care of them the best way that you can possible. So I think if we can improve in that area, that'll be a great way for us to attract some of the best athletes in the country.
You guys announced three signings. One of them we know a lot about, Taylor Jamison. We've always pondered, and we've asked you this before too. We watched Taylor Jamison in high school. She was a stud. Yeah. She just killed it at Heights, and then she goes on to George Mason, has a nice career. We've asked you before the importance of getting local talent from this high school basketball hotbed around these parts of the country. That one probably feels a little extra special. And what do you think Taylor can bring to the table for the Shockers?
I mean, I think for us it's huge. Because for me, women's basketball, in my opinion, is more of a regional and a local sport. So I think our fans just are going to be attracted if we're bringing in student athletes that they can go watch in high school, that they can go watch in AAU games. They kind of create a connection with these players if they're in your region. So I really think it's a regional sport. And one of my first things I wanted to do when I came back was to make sure we start securing the top talent in the Wichita area. I wanted to make sure we started to bring those players home. And she was one of the people who was on our hot list. Last year, she wanted to make sure she finished her degree at George Mason, which, you know, we understand it. But I think what she brings is just another local kid who has a great pride in the city of Wichita. She wants to be a beacon and example for all the young players in the city and all the young girls who have dreams to play at Wichita State. And I think just the way she plays and her tenacity and her toughness and her mindset and she has a chip on her shoulders and it's a her against the world type of mentality, which I think is also a big part of the fabric of what Wichita is. We want to always prove ourselves against the world. And she really represents that more than anybody, I think, on our team.
You know, Coach, you guys have just announced recently that there's going to be a basketball tour in the Virgin Islands. Man, that is cool. That's what we're talking about, big-time stuff. This is what the big-time programs do. Talk about how you use that, because I know there isn't a kid in the world that wouldn't love to go into that part of the country and enjoy the beaches and the palm trees and all that stuff in the Virgin Islands and play basketball. How big a deal is that for Wichita State?
I mean, it's a huge deal. I think it's a big testament to Kevin. The guys who went on the trip last year, and he's really big on making sure he takes care of my players and all of the players for sure. But I think it was really an idea kind of brought on by Kevin as the athletic director and wanting to, you know, give us this gift. And I think for us, just having a new team and new players on the team, it'll be a chance for us to bond and practice throughout the summer. And, of course, it helps recruiting. And I'm almost wondering, because I watched how hard my players are working in the weight room and their conditioning, is it for basketball? Or is it for them to be on the beach in the Virgin Islands? Weight room.
Yeah, I don't.
I did not see that coming. Man. I didn't see that coming, Coach.
I'll tell you, Coach. Like I tell myself every year, it's almost pool season. I better get rid of this little muffin top I got going. Yeah. It never works.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
If it does work out, you're gonna have to give me some tips on that.
Yes, we've had 5 hard weeks, and their level of consistency and how hard they've been working on the court, you know, with the coaches, with development, but just going down watching them in the weight room and their pace, and you can see the transformations in kids and muscle and strength and speed. And so, like I said, I don't know if this is a Virgin Islands thing or if it's a you want to make sure you're ready for my practices in the summer. Hopefully it's both.
Hey, Jacob.
Whatever it takes.
Jacob and Paul with the right waiver process, we could probably get you involved in those workouts in the weight room.
I need it.
I have 4 years of college eligibility left. Believe it or not, I do have some eligibility still on the table.
I have a COVID season left, I'm sure, Coach.
Yeah, Paul, listen, you brought up Baylor. Paul's a former Baylor football player. So, yeah, you could maybe find one more out of him.
So, Paul, you Terry, we have set some screens. You could set some screens for us then.
Oh, big time. It'd have to go like an extra block to get around me.
Get up and down. Terry, we watched this explosion of women's basketball, and I think all of us around here imagine and dream what that could be like at Charles Koch Arena. So, you know, continue the work there in NIL, everything it is, because we're all looking forward to that return to glory. Kevin, I would ask you this. I've been wondering, as you guys have the initiatives out there and you're very front-facing with those now, which is an interesting shift, right, from when this all started a handful of years ago. The fact that it is front-facing and you guys are so open with what you're looking for, how receptive have people been to that, Kevin? Is the oddness of it still existing, or are people, do you think, finding themselves more comfortable with it as you have to have these discussions?
Jacob, I would put it at the you know, if you've heard of the 10-80-10 rule on the standard bell curve, I'd probably put it at a 20-60-20, where on the top end, the 20% are all in. All right, let's embrace this NIL thing, this transfer portal thing. Let's give you guys the resources to retain and recruit well. And there's a 20% at the bottom that, if I'm really candid and blunt with you, are going to have a hard time getting there. And I certainly respect that. It's not an area that is overly palatable for some folks, particularly given the last 20, 30 years of college athletics. And we'll keep cranking away on those conversations. And some folks are coming around to understand that this is critically important. It is the landscape that we're in. These resources are critically important for us to retain and recruit and to get roster continuity that we all know contributes to championship teams. And then there's a 60% in the middle where we certainly have got to walk through the importance of it. And we've been very forward-facing on that, hosting about 100 folks in Champions Club. We're regularly doing lunches and dinners, raising money for not only annual operating, but for NIL, and really working at that hard. So I think there's 20% that are all in. I think there's 20% where it's a tough putt, but we're going to keep cranking away on those. And then I think there's 60% that we've got to get to, have a really solid conversation, educate on why it's so important, which is why we're appreciative coming on your guys' show, because that's certainly helpful. And then we'll just keep cranking away at it.
Right. Coach Nooner, I got to ask you one question, though, that has to do with basketball itself. College women's basketball, and that is, up to this year, I've always had trouble naming one or two college women basketball players because it's not on my – no offense, but you know, it's coming along. It's coming along. Well, this year I could name a ton of them, all the way from Reese to Clark to Juju. I mean, I could name you a ton of them. It's always been up to this point the coaches. It's always been about coaches in women's basketball. In other words, the Genos and Coach Daly and you know, all the great coaches. Kim Mulkey, you mentioned her just earlier in this interview. These coaches, they are very wildly successful. And of course, the lady at Stanford who's just retiring. I'm sorry, I've gone blank on her. But anyway, you know who I'm talking about. These are all really, really successful coaches. What is it? Yeah. What is it that, in your view, having been in women's basketball for as long as you've been, what's the one ingredient they all have in common that is making them and their basketball programs successful to the point where they are now?
I mean, I think it's tenacity. I think their ability to recruit. I mean, they've been able to recruit and retain. Like, you look at – I've told some of my buddies this before.
Okay.
Like, you look at, like, say somebody like Gino, the women's game, we don't have a one-and-done rule. So in so many years past, you have, say, Gino, he would recruit the number one class. And then he come in the next year and he recruits the number one class. So those kids, 4 years of having five of the top eight kids in the country, and you're keeping them every single year, I think that's a big part of them – being able to manage those kids and just being able to recruit some of the top players and being consistent with them over the long haul, I think is a big part of their success. But I think now the reason the game has grown so much is there's so much more parity. I mean, you had a kid like Caitlin Clark who wasn't at UConn, Tennessee, South Carolina. She was probably the most popular player in college sports, men's, women's, regardless of sport, her and Angel Reese and those ladies. So I think the fact that you don't have all of the top kids all loaded up in one place and there's so much more parity, which I think is a big part of why NIL is kind of like even the playing field for people. So not like there's only one or two or three schools you can go to kind of achieve your goals. And with the WNBA expanding and more kids at our level are getting opportunities to play, make it to the WNBA, I think it's just starting to be more and more opportunities for women's basketball, and you don't have to go to three or four schools to be able to achieve your lifetime dreams.
Right.
I agree with you. I think it's right. I think it is evening it out. We're running out of time here, Kevin. Quick thought, how is it going? I know it's been a little slow going on the men's side, but, you know, are things happening? You guys, you know, moving and shaking a little bit on the, you know, the portal trail for the men?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, I think everybody has in their mind, or at least most folks do, the date of May 1st is the portal closing date. And I think what's important to note that is that's really a portal entry deadline. Right. So it's not that all decisions have to be made by players and institutions, because recruiting is going to go on for several weeks past May 1st. That is the deadline for young people to get into the portal. And so what I think you're seeing is you're seeing on both the individuals that are in the portal, you're seeing a delay on announcements until after May 1st. And I think you're seeing from many coaches in the country are trying to get those announcements to be delayed after May 1st, each for varying reasons. But I think you'll see a lot of activity, a lot of promotion and publicity on announcements like May 2nd to the 10th.
We appreciate it, gentlemen. Good luck to everyone involved there with, you know, this opportunity, hopefully, to boost Wichita State athletics. Terry, it's good to catch up with you again. We'll do it again as we get closer to the season for sure.
Right.
And we look ahead to getting things going. Yeah. And, you know, Kevin, we'll have you in a couple weeks here to as we're coming down the home stretch of baseball, softball, and get us primed up for the postseason.
Can I just holler real quick? Coach Nooner, anytime you want to come on, just come on with us. Give us a holler. We'd love to have you back on.
I come on anytime, and anytime y'all want to jump in them high intensity workouts, y'all let me know too.
Got it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have a feeling that call will be a one way call from Wichita State to you all. I don't know if those workout calls are coming.
It will take some convincing for me. I'm out of shape.
Thanks so much for having us on the show, and go Shockers.
I appreciate it both. There goes Kevin Saul. There goes Terry Nooner. Good timing on all of that is, you know, their efforts to ramp up NIL, which is what Shocker fans have wanted, are full going. And again, it's not just to help one program. This is what we talk about all the time, Paul.
Yes, that's right.
NIL makes its way through.
It's getting through.
It's important in all of them. And, you know, you scale it however you need to scale it, but it's helping athletes all over campus. So you can find out more about that if you're interested. Just go to Go Shockers. Wichita State baseball, softball in season, and we'll get more into that in the coming weeks as they get ready for the postseason. When we come back, you think Reggie Bush would have liked to have some NIL opportunities when he was in college, Paul?
He did.
It sounds like he's going to get his Heisman back. Yeah. We'll get into that story when we return on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Albrock, Paul Savage. Appreciate Kevin Saul, Terry Nooner for joining the program. If you missed any of that, you can go back and listen at kfhradio.com. You've got the live stream there. You've got a podcasted form of the show. You can do that. So check it out. IHOP Hotline is back open now at 869-1240. Paul, before we get into this, let's give away some HTO.
Oh, boy.
We'll give away... some free iced tea, some free rain coffee.
Love it.
The free iced tea is available for you in Derby or in either Wichita location, east or west. The coffee, free rain, now served, is available for you in Derby or Wichita East. First caller right now to the IHOP hotline at 869-1240 will get a free drink, two of them,
wonderful,
on us here at Sports Daily. Good luck, everybody.
I like it. Thank you, Jacob.
Let's hit this Reggie Bush story, Paul, and I do want to get into the Dylan Edwards transfer, too, as we're shifting to college football a little bit.
Sure.
So Reggie Bush, the Heisman Trust, says they're going to reinstate his 2005 trophy.
Right.
They say it's due to large shifts, basically, in the college athletics, enormous changes over the last several years. And basically, I think what they're saying, Paul, is in the current model, Reggie Bush, anything he was accused of would have been totally fine. The other thing that's important to point out here is the NCAA, Paul, has nothing to do with this. This is all the Heisman Trust doing this. One way or the other, get the man his trophy back.
Right,
please.
Right, please.
Get the man his trophy
now,
back.
Let's do it. I think that's fair.
The reason...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Doesn't have a trophy is naivety, let's be honest. Very naive to think that college football players haven't been compensated over the years. Whatever it is naive. They were compensated, Paul, in, you know, small ways, but in some ways at a Division II school I went to. So, you know, the most high profile athletes getting compensation in whatever way it is has been happening forever.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever your favorite coach is,
right,
at a high level, they've all been doing it.
Right.
Okay, so when Reggie Bush in 2005 had his taken away, that's the naivety. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? So I'm glad to see it come back.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great college football players of all time.
Right.
Now, should he have won it over Vince Young? I'm not sure. One of the, you know,
well,
my
know.
Favorite college football yeah. game and season ever
right.
was that year.
Right.
And Reggie Bush, even though I, at that time in my life, and I probably don't as much now, but back then, boy, I hated USC. I was a huge Notre Dame fan. You know, this would have been college when this game happened for me. Huge Notre Dame fan growing up, hated USC, Reggie Bush, the Bush, all that stuff. But he's one of the greatest college football players we've ever seen.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Right.
Most exciting, electric college football players we've ever seen. And the fact that he didn't have his trophy was weird. But I'm glad he has it now. And mm-hmm. you know what? NCAA, nobody cares about you anymore and what you think.
Not a care in the world about. By the way, with regards to Reggie Bush, I think there's two things about this, two points I'd like to make. About this, one is that you touched upon the fact that what Reggie Bush was doing back when he was at USC in the early 2000s was called NIL today. I mean, that's what he was doing. I mean, he was just doing NIL before NIL was around, and so we get that. The other thing about the money part of his competing at the college level with the money is that, to me, and Jad and I were talking over the break, I always thought, to a certain extent, that Reggie Bush was doing it for the right reasons, because the basis of – now, I'm going back a long time. You know, correct me if my memory is faulty on this. But, Jacob, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of this had to do with a house that he had his mother and father in. He put his mom and dad in a nicer home than they've ever had in their entire life because he could at that point. That offer was made. I'm telling you what, I think to myself, what would I do for my mother and my father? I would do whatever I need to do. That's what I would. I got a feeling. I've met your mom and dad. I've got a feeling you do the same thing. You do the exact same thing for them.
I don't. Nothing he did bothers me. Nothing any of these athletes at any point bothers me. So, nothing the schools did to get them there bothers me either, quite frankly.
So that's reason number one why I'm glad they're reinstating this, and that is, you know, he did not. Now, I'm not saying he didn't benefit. Obviously, he did. But he was doing the major work on this thing for the right reason, his mom and dad. Now, the other reason, excuse me, is that, hold on just. The main reason I think that he's going back in, or his Heisman is being restored at this point, is very simply, last year the College Football Hall of Fame inducted Reggie Bush into the College Football Hall of Fame. Every Heisman Trophy winner that's ever won the Heisman is eventually put into College Football Hall of Fame. I think that's a big part of it. I think that's a big part of why the Heisman Club, well, not the, the downtown, what is it, the downtown club in New York, is restoring his Heisman. He's now into College Football Hall of Fame. How do you have a Heisman winner, not with his trophy, but he's in the College Football Hall of Fame, Jacob? I don't get it. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. He's going to get it. He's needed it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
For a long time, the reasons he didn't have it, again, I don't know how else to describe it except we're just very, very naive, and he's got it now. And so we're there, right? We're there.
We're there.
He'll get it. Now, I use this transition, and it's interesting, only because we're talking about electric running backs, and Dylan Edwards is not Reggie Bush, but he kind of plays like him a little bit, Paul, and Dylan Edwards is back in the portal. Okay, so Dylan Edwards, the Derby star, probably the quickest, fastest player I can recall seeing in high school football.
Great lateral move. Great lateral speed.
Is in the portal, and his recruiting process has been really interesting. Started at K-State. Right, and it was the Dylan Edwards, Avery Johnson, childhood friends. They've been playing football together their entire lives story.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, opportunity strikes. Notre Dame comes calling. He pulls from K-State, goes to Notre Dame. No big deal. He probably got a better offer. I have no problem with that. Then he left Notre Dame to go with Prime at Colorado. That was interesting. Again, liked the coach better. Okay. And he's pretty successful as a freshman. When Colorado was good at the beginning of the season winning games, he was a big part of it.
He was.
And you could see how he fits in. Well, like so many Colorado players, and I don't really fully understand the reason why this is happening, Dylan Edwards goes back into the portal. Deion Sanders likes Dylan Edwards, by the way. And Avery Johnson, you know, his childhood friend, they were high school rivals, but they grew up together and are, you know, they're great friends. Is very publicly campaigning for a return to K-State for Dylan Edwards. And I would tell you this, you know, you got to swallow your pride, K-State fans, maybe K-State coaches that are annoyed by the way that all played out the last time. If you can get Dylan Edwards in there, you got to go make that happen. For an offense that we are wondering about its explosiveness outside of the quarterback and some of the changes, to just add a piece like Edwards to mix in anywhere would be good for this offense. So this becomes really interesting to see his name out there and the obvious connections to K-State. If he had not originally committed, Paul, to K-State and then left, I mean, this would be just really staring at us in the face. But he did, so now it makes me wonder, if it's even possible. But, boy, you talk about a good fit. He'd be a good fit at KU, too, by the way. A little thunder and lightning there in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be a good fit for either one of those teams, and I really hope he ends up at one of them.
Right.
The storybook place, of course, would be K-State. But, man, he'd be good either spot, and,
right.
I hope that's where he ultimately ends
up. And, of course, we don't know. It's hard. It's, you know, and this NIL makes this speculation always difficult because you and I don't know numbers. And that's going to have a big part of where he ends up. But if the numbers are right, or shall I say if the numbers are competitive, that might be a better way to phrase this. If the numbers are competitive, then I think, you know, if you're a K-State fan, well, you just can't have your feelings hurt. That's just as simple as that is. You cannot have your feelings hurt because he changed his mind to go to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is that special place. Now, you could have your feelings hurt if he changed and went to Baylor. I would get that, and I would laugh, but that's okay. But Notre Dame's a different thing. If he ends up saying, I want to come back and go to K-State, man, that will be a joyous thing. That would be a great thing. That kid is a special talent. He hasn't seen his potential yet. I think it would be great. I think it would be wonderful to see him in the portal end up in K-State.
It would be wonder. Yes, I. It would be such a cool and fun story. It would also, for different reasons, be a cool and fun story if he ended up at KU. Right? That would be like the rivalry that would immediately exist. He'd be like public enemy number one for K-State fans. That would also be a good story. But his buddy Avery Johnson is advocating for him to come to K-State. We'll see. I have not talked to anybody involved in that. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald in tomorrow. He may have a little more insight on that. We'll get his thoughts on it, on the possibilities of it. Colorado brought in, I think, an Ohio State running back, and that probably has something to do with it, and that's totally fine. I just, in this modern NIL world, Paul, don't you have to have a really thick skin?
Oh, my gosh.
Your schools that's or
right.
coaches?
Well, that's right. And there's all kinds of things that go in this beside the money. By the way, I just got a text from one of my good coaching buddies, Coach Murph, who happens to, I'd coached a lot of years of professional football with him, and he makes the point that Coach Sanders coached Dylan when he was younger, and they had already had a relationship. And so that's why he committed when the offer was made. You can't fault that kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing that you've got to understand and realize about the world in which we live, that these relationships come and go, but they can certainly come back. And that's in a way, it's a beautiful thing because second chances, and you know I've always have been about redemption. I love redemption. It's one of the great things about the human spirit is redemption. And they're in and if this is what one would want to call redemption, then so be it. I'm all for it. But I guess there's other reasons why he was what ended up where he was and how all this worked out. But
yeah, look, it's fine. Like, again, I always tell people when all this stuff makes them squirm, put yourself in the position of being that kid's parent, and I think it all makes a whole lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, you know, it's easy to sit back and say, oh, what happened to loyalty? And we're like, okay, I get it.
I get it too.
I totally disagree with that.
However,
in sports, especially in football, you do not have much of a window or opportunity to actually earn based on your playing ability.
Mm, that's
very
true.
Very few guys get to do it, and even fewer amount get to do it for a long time. So if you're the parent of this kid and the obvious is staring at you and you're being presented this opportunity to capitalize on these God-given abilities that such a small fraction of people get. Mm-hmm. This opportunity is such a rarity.
It is.
That if you think about it as a parent or an advisor to one of these young people, it's like, man, you're a football player. Your length of time here is short. If you've got an opportunity to capitalize on that now, you have to take it.
Mm.
Because there's too great a risk that it's all done like that.
Right. That is
exactly. And so you just have to. And you have to understand that when you look at this. And yes, loyalty matters. Mm. In a perfect world, we will find the balance between compensation and loyalty. But forever, that scale has been tipped to absolutely fraudulent levels with these high-level athletes,
right?
Why Reggie Bush doesn't have his Heisman, because everything was having to be done under the table because the value is clearly there. So, I never fault these kids for leaving the place they're at. Do I wish it happened less? Of course I do. I also think it gives more teams a chance to compete, and I think it's absolutely the best thing for the kids who've been taken advantage of for eternity in college sports.
I missed the chance of falling in love with a player. And I don't mean, love. I mean, I love falling in love with players. Do you want to know something? I'm more guarded.
Do you think that LSU fans love Joe Burrow?
Well, yes.
Of course they do.
He's
there a year.
Hello.
Transferred in. Uh-huh. Transferred in, won him a national championship, set all kinds of records.
That's
you think
right.
they love him?
Absolutely.
Do you think it matters that he was only there for one season?
No, because, he brought him to Mecca.
So if Will Howard goes to Ohio State and is incredible and a Heisman candidate, do you think they'll love him any less than if he'd have been there for 2 or 3 years?
No, they won't. In fact, they may love him more. I mean, just that's the
Joe way. Joe Burrow was at LSU for 2 years, but
well,
you know what I mean.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, though. I get it. And the answer is no, I get it. You will fall in, but those are the heights of which, you know, your love will grow. You know, we talk about love growing, and your love will grow. National championships have a way of making the heart and the love grow, don't they? That's
yeah. Let me think of a more relatable example.
Okay,
for
please.
Us.
All right.
Do you think KU fans have the appropriate appreciation for Remy Martin?
How about Hunter Dickinson?
Well, time will tell. Remy Martin came to KU, helped him win a national championship.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Hunter Dickinson, yeah. If they go to the promised land and he's back next year, you think anybody's gonna? No, it's fine. It's okay.
That's right.
Schools and fans have been falling in love with one and done players in college basketball forever.
Right.
Right. It's all relative.
Hey, we fell in love.
Congratulations to Wendell for winning our HTO.
Giveaway,
a little free rain coffee and iced tea.
Way to go, Wendell. Wonderful. Great.
What were you going to say? Finish that.
All I was going to say is Michael Bishop at K-State was a 2-year guy. And how much love does he get from K-State people?
There you go. That's a great example.
Great example. Just,
listen, K-State fans, I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't ever like telling anybody what to do or what to think. But if Dylan Edwards wants to come back to K-State, welcome him back with open arms.
Right.
Just a little, a nudge from me. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline. We got more Sports Daily coming right after this. Back in, everybody. Sports Daily, quick segment here. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening on our audio stream to those of you at kfhradio.com. Always a great way to listen when you're not around your radio. Paul, Jaden Daniels, and according to a report, CBS Sports has this. It's according to The Athletic, though, that's reporting this. His dream world, he's told people, according to The Athletic, would be to either reunite with Antonio Pierce and play for the Raiders or play under Kevin O'Connell and replace Kirk Cousins with the Vikings. The Raiders have been reports, tried to get up to number two, but there was a connection between Pierce and Daniels at Arizona State. By the way, Jaden Daniels played at Arizona State. Did you even know that? I did. I think maybe I did. I forgot. But I don't know that Washington's going to trade out of that spot. This is interesting. Daniels is an interesting prospect. I think he's got the ability to come in and be explosive and do things right away. But can he stay healthy? And, that matters, certainly, when you're trying to make these evaluations. Washington's got to take it. What interests me about that, I think, more than anything, is that this young person has said being with O'Connell in Minnesota would be so appealing, because I think that that would be appealing to any of them and be an advantage for whatever quarterback the Vikings end up with. It goes back to our original point. What if Justin Herbert ends up with the Vikings? I can't get that out of my head. I can't. But is it surprising to you that a young person has a thought and opinion on the head coach and you know, their style of coaching? You know, that's next level thinking. But Kevin O'Connell has that reputation there in Minnesota, which the other part of that that makes it interesting is, could he get something out of Sam Darnold if things fall apart for the Vikings, I suppose. But I do think that's interesting that, you know, you've got a clear connection for Daniels in his dream scenario to go back with Pierce, but then you have this random thought of the Vikings, right? They're not picking at number two. Mm-hmm. Their chances to get Jaden Daniels are almost zero, I would think. Yet he, you know, according to this report, has told people he'd love to play there. I think that speaks to O'Connell and makes, you know, their hunt for the next quarterback pretty interesting.
Well, it might be a little easier if you look at it, at the situation and the fact that, you know, coaches are different. You know that. All coaches are different.
It can mean everything.
It can mean everything in philosophy of how they do things, of how they accomplish their goals. Let me give you a good example. Take the Detroit Lions, for instance. Dan Campbell, he is what they call old school. Now, that's not for everybody. An old school coach, it's not a bad thing. And I consider myself a bit of an old school coach, but it's not a bad thing. But on the other hand, it's a unique situation for certain guys coming out of certain programs, and I get that. So all these things that you're seeing, you're seeing guys who say to themselves, this is a coach who I would understand, who would understand me, and part of that is all about, how do I relate to this coach? Do we have the same philosophy? Will we want the same things? Will we approach these things in a similar manner? And it goes through the mind of everybody, doesn't it? I mean, it would have to. It does in the recruiting process, for God's sakes, from high school to
does.
College.
But
I mean, so.
Paul, I think Patrick Mahomes would have been successful anywhere he landed.
Well, I think you're probably right.
However, landing with Andy Reid, being able to sit behind Alex Smith for a year, all of those circumstances have helped make him the best. If he's not in Kansas City, is he in the GOAT conversation that he's in right now? I don't know. I don't know that he is. I think it's, you know, that's a tough leap to make, honestly.
Well,
and so, yeah, it's cool to me to hear thoughts from, you know, these young guys thinking about that stuff, because it can make all the difference in the world for your entire career. And you know, if you hear those things and you have those conversations, what's so wild is you don't really get to control any of it. But I think that's important for Minnesota to hear that. And maybe it, you know, gets them a little more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Washington seems to hold all the power here, right? Washington may love Daniels. Like, what does Washington and Dan Quinn want to do here? Because they're the one, everybody knows it's going to be Caleb Williams one, but they're really in the spot that everybody else wants. What if they don't love Jaden Daniels? What if they evaluate Penix or J.J. McCarthy maybe a little higher than Jaden Daniels and Drake May, which I think is totally possible.
Mm-hmm. And again, it depends
maybe,
on.
Maybe they would trade down.
Maybe they would. And there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts in this scenario, which you're talking about. Lots and lots.
Going to make for a really, 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 really fun Thursday tomorrow. We're counting down the hours. I can't wait. I know I keep saying that, but I hope it doesn't disappoint. I think it's going to be very, very sexy.
First 10 picks are going to be fascinating, aren't they, Jacob? The first 10 picks are fascinating.
Who's going to make them is going to be fascinating.
Well,
enough.
You've got a point there.
And then seeing how teams rank these guys out. We've got four quarterbacks that are all over the rankings list, three receivers for the same thing. It's going to be awesome. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today when we return on Sports Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.